and I'm Blanquita Kellum. And joining us on the phone, actually in Iraq, is Dan Senor, the advisor to the United States presidential envoy in Iraq, Ambassador Bremer. Dan, what a big deal, a big day. Now we have this temporary constitution in place. A lot of people are saying this is terrific. In fact, many countries have been saying this is fabulous.
Yeah, Blanquita, I think that's right. It's a historic moment, I think, for Iraq. It's a historic moment for the region. It's an historic moment for the Western world. I would put this interim constitution up against any constitution in any Western country.
And one of the things that I have found fascinating is that while you have I guess the president or the temporary head of the council right now is a Shiite cleric, what I'm understanding and hearing is that 65% of the Shia are supportive of separation in church and state. Does this mean that it gives an indication that we won't see Iraq turn into Iran?
Well, yeah, I think that's right. I think what you see here, Blanquita, is Iraqis, whether they are religious or secular, striking the right balance between defining Islam and the state and respecting individual liberties and democratic principles. In fact, the key article, Article 7 in the interim constitution, says that Islam will be the state religion. The interim constitution will recognize the Islamic identity of a majority of Iraqis, but this will not be at the expense of individual liberties, which will be protected, and they are very explicitly explained in a Bill of Rights in this constitution, and that democratic principles will not be subordinated. So it's okay to have a role for religion in the state so long as they do not compromise the democratic principles and individual liberties that are protected.
This is something that the president has really worked very hard towards keeping this on track, and I know Ambassador Bremer has done a very phenomenal job in trying to see the success of this happen. When you talk about a Bill of Rights, how closely is this to our own Bill of Rights in this country?
Well, it has many of the same rights that are protected: freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom to strike, the legal rights, rights for the accused, due process, right to a defense. All these sorts of things that we take for granted, I think, in the United States are now being enshrined and protected here. And again, I can't emphasize this enough. You know, a year ago, if you had told someone that in about 12 months, Iraqis from all over the country would be sitting around the table debating a constitution that protects freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom to hold your government accountable, freedom of religion, they would have said no way, because at that time, if you didn't mind your tongue in Iraq, you literally could have your tongue cut out. You could wind up in a mass grave if you said the wrong thing. You could wind up in a torture chamber or a rape room if you opposed the government. Now, the new government of Iraq has a document, a constitution to govern the country, that protects all those things and protects the government from becoming overbearing.
One of the great things that you mentioned there, Dan, and I just have to say this as a broadcaster, but also as someone who's traveled somewhat extensively in the Middle East, you really don't see freedom of speech or freedom of the press in almost any of the countries. I mean, the majority of the countries in the Middle East do not exercise freedom of the press.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, what's interesting is since liberation, since April 9th, 2003, over 200 newspapers, Iraqi indigenous newspapers, have popped up since liberation. Free newspapers, editorial boards, arguing issues, taking different sides of issues. Some of them are very critical of what we're doing here. Some are very supportive of what we're doing here. But wherever they stand, you can be sure they all appreciate freedom of speech and freedom of expression and the right to operate. It's an amazing thing. There's nothing like it going on in the region. And even if you look at the discussion, the debate over the interim constitution the governing council members held, they spent night after night. They pulled all-nighters. I was there. I watched it. It was absolutely fascinating. You felt a real sense of history. And it was probably the most progressive discussion going on at a governmental level anywhere in the Middle East at this particular moment. And the other thing I would say is this interim constitution says that Islam can be a source of legislation. Islam could be a source, but it doesn't say Islam should be the source. And that's a key distinction, because if you look at Iran, if you look at Egypt, if you look at Saudi Arabia, if you look at some of these other countries, Islam is defined as having to be the source of legislation. And this is very unconventional for this part of the world.
So you've got to feel like you're at the ground level, like almost like our founding fathers were here at the formation of our own country with our own constitution. What a historic event. What a proud time to be there.
Right. In fact, I'll never forget last weekend when they were in the middle of the negotiations, not this past weekend, the weekend before, Dr. Muwafaq Rubai, one of the senior members, Shia members of the Governing Council, along with the Sunni and a Kurd, left the negotiations in the middle of the night to go make a statement to the Iraqi press to say, we are making progress, just give you an update. And one of them said, this is the birth of a new nation.
And thanks also to the President. I wish we had more time. To you, as my friend, thank you so much. And, of course, Jerry Bremer has done a fantastic job. Dan Senor, come back again and join us again.
I will.
And God bless you and all that work you're doing out there for not only our people, but for the people of Iraq.
Thank you.
This is Newsbeat. Thank you, Dan. Dan Senor.